Jesus' name. This morning in our Streetwise series, as Craig has mentioned, we're looking at money. And if you have your Bibles, you're looking at in Proverbs, so go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to read verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Amen. God is telling you this morning, honor me with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats bursting with wine. Don't worry about the scripture that is there. I will get onto it. It's my introduction scripture. The point is, our God is the one who created everything. And in the world we are living in today, especially at this time in South Africa, finances is very important. Money, and I'm telling you, as time is going in, the way I'm seeing things, I grew up in Ghana and I stayed in Zambia. Some of the things that are happening here, I've seen it before. But one thing I know is that God is with his people. No matter the economic situation, we just need to listen to God and we need to move with God. All will be well. Amen. And so this morning, money is very important. It matters to God and it matters to you. No one teaches you about money. No one, you know what money is. Of course, there are times we get our children and say, this, buy sweet, buy this. But money is very, very important. Somebody said, there are few essential things in life that you get for free. All other things you buy with money. And it's very amazing. Money, if used wisely, can bring happiness, joy. And even as Christians, can bring more people into the faith. But if money is used unwisely, it brings unhappiness. It can bring fights in homes. It can bring killing in families. And even in the church, it will prevent people from not knowing God. So what are you doing with money? There's a scripture that the wise man, the philosopher, says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 9. He says, bread is made for laughter and wine gladdens life and money answers everything. Maybe you may think it's not in the Bible. It's there. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Money answers all things. But money in the Bible, as we look in today, sometimes it may not be written money. But things like gold, silver, possessions, sometimes even when the Bible talks about cattle, riches, poverty, profit, losses, mammon, it's talking about money. So there's a lot about money in the Bible because God knows that we have to use money in this life. But something has to be done. And as I set the grounds, there are some principles that we need to have in our minds as we deal with money. Craig asked Rob and I this morning, but you guys are talking about money. Where are your suits and all? You know, when people are coming to talk about money, you can see they have money. Amen. Well, everybody has got money. Whether it's a cent or millions, you can talk about money. The most important thing is knowing the principles as Christians about how God wants us to use money. Do you know that there are some people who call themselves Christians, they got millions, but before God, they are useless. Because they are not using the money. They are not using the money. They are fighting and all that. A lot of people in the end lose the faith because of money. And so whatever you got, God can use it this morning. So don't wait until you get millions. The little you have, God can use it to expand his kingdom. Amen. And so it's important. Let me tell you that there are some in our midst that God are going to make rich for the sake of the kingdom. And when you get there, please remember that the Lord made you who you are because of his gifts in your hands. There's a story Craig told me, and it has really always helped me a lot. He says when he was a young pastor in Cape Town, he met a young man. And as he was praying, he felt God said to him, tell this man he's going to be rich and begin to mentor him. And that man today is a rich man. I mean, he wouldn't hide. He's got money. And he blesses people, including Craig. Amen. That amazes me. So what we are saying here is there are people here that God is going to raise. Let's not have poverty mentality. I don't like this prosperity something. I don't believe in that. But what I know is that God can prosper you in whichever way he wants. It's not you to claim it. I remember when I became a Christian, there were young men in their suit in Ghana, 45 degrees in the suit, and stand by the roadside and say, that Mercedes is mine. In Jesus' name I claim it. What is that? That's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about being sensible to what God has given you so that value can come out of it. And that's what we're talking about here. Well, let's look at these basic principles. I want you to know, as the scripture that was there, in Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, the Lord, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and those who dwell in them. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So number one, we need to have this principle as we talk about money, that the whole earth belongs to God. And not only the earth, but everything that is within it belongs to God. That is very important. And Paul was used it and said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If the earth is for the Lord and everything in it, he says, for every beast and the forest is mine. A cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. And in those days when you have cattle, you have money. Your money was in cattle. He says, cattle on 1,000 hills. And someone says, it's not only the cattle, but even the hills are his. Amen. So this is the God we're talking about. The God that we call our Father. He owns everything. And the second thing you need to know, having been aware that God, everything belongs to God, you belong to God. God told the people of Israel that you are mine. And today, in 1 Peter, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen race. I love it. Today we talk about racism. Here, you are a chosen race. Forget about this color and all. We are God's chosen people. One people belonging to God. We are so special to him. And he says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, God's own possession. So you, if you're a Christian sitting here, you belong to God. You need to understand that. So the basic principle is the whole earth, everything in it, the elements, the gold, the silver, whatever it is, belongs to God. And us here, and those who are not even Christians, they also belong to God. Everything created, the mountains, everything. You belong to God. And if you belong to God, whatever you have belongs to God. That means your money belongs to God. You are a mere steward. You are just taking care of it. You are a mere steward. And so we need to get that clear. Now, there are 3 points I want us to look at this morning. 3 points. We need to honor God in our money-making schemes. Whatever you have, making money, you need to honor God in that. Secondly, you need to honor God in the way you spend your money. And thirdly, you need to honor God by saving money. These are important things if you are talking about God. Money. Money is not just a means of paying for this and paying for that. But God has given you something that you need to cherish. It's a tool in your hands. It's a tool. And you know one thing? Money can do 2 things. Money can be a master or a slave. You have to choose what money has to be in your hands. If you allow money to be a slave is a very good servant. It can serve your purposes. But if you are too greedy and you allow money to be your master, it will drive you crazy. It will drive you to places you don't want to go. You have to decide. And through the word of God, you are able to do that if you take these things well. Let's start by looking at how we honor God through making money. Of course, if you met, brother, how are you? Brother, what do you do? I rob banks. You rob banks? How can you rob bank, Baba? You know it's not right. Do you understand? Look, in the church of Ephesus, there were some people who were stealing. That's their job, and they became Christian. Paul wrote to them in Ephesians chapter 4, those of you who are thieves, don't steal anymore. That's what the Bible says. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. And so, let me tell you, there are some things that you may be doing when you become a Christian, you don't have to do it. We used to call it prostitution. Today, it's called sex work. And so, I come to church, sister, what do you do? Sex work. We need to help this sister get a better work. Because the Bible says, you are a temple of the living God. And for that matter, you can't use this temple in that way. And so, it's important that we honor God in the way we work. So, the first way of making money that we all know is work. And I don't want to dwell much on that because the last thing we'll be talking about work. So, I don't want to labor too much on it. But one thing that the scripture says in Proverbs 12 says that diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. The same chapter 12, verse 27 says, the lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. So if you are diligent, that means if you work, there is something that will come to your hands. And that is called money. You will have it. So we need to work. That's number one. That's how we make money. Not doing other things that doesn't please God. Number two, the second point is we make use of every opportunity that God brings our way. You know, there are times by mere meeting someone and him asking your name and you talking, and then the person begins to say, oh, I didn't know that. And that brings friendship that can lead to you having access to money. There are a lot of opportunities that God will bring your way. Remember that God does not bring people in your way for nothing. You have to use everything God has given you well, even your health. Your health. If you take good care of your health, it will credit you with some money one day. If we don't take good care of our health, it will be against us one day. Your intelligence. There are some people, your intelligence, you can genuinely make money with your intelligence. These days, the world is changing. We used to do a lot of digging, hard work. In my life, I've really worked hard. And so hard work, I'm not afraid of hard work. But it's changing. It's more on the net. It's more computerized. IT, everything. Are you still sitting on your bum, not doing anything? If you get to know that, God can open a way for you. I met a guy who has got a lot of money now. He says, the way I have money began this way. There were two guys who were seamen. I don't know if in South Africa, they were on the ship. Seamen. So they came to this place, and they had two cars to sell. They needed money, quick money. They brought genuinely the papers, everything is there. So this guy said, how much are you selling? And at that time, in Ghana, that vehicle was going for $500,000, one of them. I mean, people can easily buy because there were no vehicles at the time. So this guy spoke to them and said, I can help you. No, all we need is money because we are going tomorrow. This man quickly went to the bank, spoke to the manager, and because he was doing well, that's opportunity. He got money, $1 million, paid for those two cars, and the following day he was a millionaire because he got $2 million out of that. What I'm saying is opportunities may come your way. Genuine opportunities. I'm not saying schemes that get people off the way. So please use whatever you have well. And definitely God will bless you. Then the next thing I want to talk about is there are times God blesses us and we don't take note of them. That hymn that says, count your blessings and name them one by one. You see, sometimes we don't save because we don't see the blessings of God coming our way. We don't save. But let's assume it happened. There was a time one of our children needed to go to the hospital. It was going to cost us 6,000. We went there and we were ready to pay the money. And then as we were about to pay the money, the lady said, no, you can't book the child in here. You need to go to another hospital. Why? I asked questions, and then we went to the next hospital. When we went there, God being so good, thank God we didn't go that the first one because medical insurance was not going to pay. So when we, by God's own wisdom, when we went into the next hospital, we saved 6,000. That is money from God because we were ready to pay. We were ready to pay. But some of us, sometimes we don't see it as God giving you that money. God gives to his people. I want you to see this scripture. Proverbs chapter 10. There are two verses that come. Just analyze these two verses. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 4 says, slack hand causes poverty. Slack. A hand that doesn't do anything causes poverty. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. You understand that? If your hands are there, poverty. But if your hands is working, money. That is verse 4. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. So what makes a man rich? Is it the blessing or is it the hand? That's a question for you. It's the same scripture. Chapter 10 of Proverbs. We are dealing with Proverbs. Slack hands causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent make rich. Then verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. I want you to know one thing. God is always blessing us. God is at the, just behind everything is blessing us. But he doesn't do it alone. He does it with you. Through what you do, he brings in the blessing. And so we need to count our blessings and name them one by one. In fact, he told the Israelites, when you get to the land and you eat and you are satisfied, bless the Lord for the good land he has given you. And so there's so much God is given. Let's not, sometimes we want to see tangible. Now I didn't have Mercedes Benz. Now I've got it. I have a BM. So I'm blessed by the Lord. Hey. God is blessing you day in and day out. If he didn't give you health, the hospital bills you'll be paying, as I talked about, there's a lot. So I want you to take note. One way of making money is the blessing of the Lord that is coming to you. Count it as you go by. So we need to honor God in the way we make money. Secondly, we need to honor God in the way we spend our money. It's a big thing. The passage we read said, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Honor, and I like that word, first fruits, because my dad was an agriculturist. He did agriculture, he was a farmer, so we were made to farm. Let me tell you, when you have got your farm, you planted tomatoes and all that, the first ones that come, who are so beautiful, huge, big, and then they begin to go smaller and smaller. The first one is for God. The first one is for God. When you dip your hand in your pocket, let the first one go to God. That means monthly, as God blesses you, the first thing you should think about is, God, I give you. That's very important. Very, very important. Most of us, the last thing we remember, oh, it was tough this week. Oh, God, you know it was tough. Next month, it was tough. When would it be okay with you? Do you know that as human beings, if I'm getting 2,000 this month, and next month I get 2,005, I wish I'm getting 3,000. The moment I'm told next month you are getting 2,005, I begin to plan for that. And so money doesn't satisfy us. So if you put your faith and everything in money, you'll be disappointed. So what it is that when God, make God your number one. Make God the way you give to God, number one. In the church, there are reasons why we need to give to God. Honestly, sometimes I feel bad. We have people who are working in our church here. Day in and day out, every morning. On Friday, I forgot to send this thing in. I phoned Vuyo early in the morning, about 6 o'clock. She was here. There are people who are working, and they need to be paid. They need to be paid. We can't go to the bank and say, hey, you know, we are working well. We are doing well in the city. We are teaching people, as Craig was saying, we are teaching this thing. Can you give us some money? They will call the police. They will call security. Because they can't pay for you. Why should they pay? It has to come from us. And when the Lord blesses us, we need to bless people in the church. So it is important that we know. He says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. That's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading the grain. You put a bit in the horse, it's doing this and then nothing. No, let it eat. That's very important. Please, we need to understand. Manna has stopped flowing. You know that? The day they entered the land and they started working, manna stopped. We have to produce, we have to give. And I'm praying, God, that we will see that as we do this, the hand of the Lord will be upon us. That aside, just paying people who do work and labor in our midst, we also need to help the poor. As a church, we need to help the poor. Let me tell you, there's something that I've been worried about. One day, Mavis phoned me, Melvin phoned me and said, Baba Benson, there's a young lady who wanted to come to the university and there's a problem. Can you help? I said, what do you mean by help? He says, this lady is supposed to register. When she came, the place is closed. We don't know what to do. So I told Beatrice and we decided, well, let's do what we can. So I came here. We said, meet me at the church. We met. We spoke to this young girl from Kluwe. Young lady. And so we had to get our sister to stay with her overnight. What pains me is that after registering and everything, I phone her on Friday. Are you back? He says, sorry, I can't come. There's no money. All the dreams. Because she was talking about things she wants to do for her family after school and all that. And I said, no, we'll get you into our church and we'll be able to help you. Through this, I got to know her parents. Look, if we have money in this church, we could say, let's give this girl a bursary. We can give a bursary to her. We need to do something. There's something that God wants to do. And if she tomorrow becomes the minister of finance after we have helped her, and somebody's talking nonsense at the assembly or whatever, she'll be able to say, no. I know the church. The church helped me. If she becomes an MP, she will defend the church. So we have something to do. There's something we can do. For me, the Lord has done it for me. I've told you my mother died. My father had to go somewhere. God used people to help me. We need, as a church, help people in that way. We need to promote missions. We're talking about Krista. Krista is representing us. We need to give something to her. I was convinced yesterday that we need to give something to her. I'm glad, Craig, you mentioned it this morning. She's representing us. We need to do the work of God, evangelism and missions. We need to have money for that. Of course, there are other things we need in the church. How I wish, you know, these pews, maybe if we had money, we take them all off and put a folding chair so that you can have space to, you know. Yeah, we would love it. You can dance around. Sometimes I watch. And then you want to turn around and you can see, you can go halfway. We want to turn around. Amen. And we need money to do that. We need money to be able to do that. And God will be able to help us do that. Of course, we need to run this church. We said we want to have a youth center. Can you imagine if we had a story building there, a youth center with computers? And I'm telling you, the university will adopt it as a center of excellence. And we know it's ours. When you are there, we can preach to you. And we'll give you quality things. It's something we can do if God is on our side to do that. And so we need to look at these things. But one thing I want to say, as much as I don't like this prosperity gospel, I know if you give to God, He will reward you. But it is God who will choose what reward He will give you. It may not be a Mac, it may not be a BM, but He will reward you. He will reward you. I have tasted and seen that God rewards His people. I'm not who I am like this. It's by God's grace. The many blessings I have seen, sometimes I feel ashamed to tell people about it. About 5 years ago, a friend of mine just came and said, "Benson, I want to bless you." I said, "What do you mean by bless you?" He said, "Look, I'm going to buy a new Mercedes Benz. I've got the one I've been using. Just give me 80,000 and take it." Woo! This is about 200 and something thousand. If it were today, I would have done that. But at that time, I said, "I've just moved from Gateway, and now there were problems there. Everybody will know now Benson is driving. Yo, they will say, hey," I said, "Baba, take." You see, I missed that opportunity. If it were today, I would say, "Thank you," and pick it. Let them say whatever they want to say. God blesses His people. I never asked for it. I would have saved over 150,000. The blessing of God comes our way in manners that we never think of. So let's not, because of prosperity gospel, say God doesn't do it. He does it. I like this scripture in Romans chapter 11. It's one of the scriptures that really touched me when I became a Christian. Romans 11 verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor?" And I love this. "Who has ever given to God that God should repay him?" Who has ever? Can you ever outgive God that He should repay you? Even when you don't give, He gives. You need to understand that. Don't make that your aim. So you are putting in and saying, "Lord, you know, I put 5 and I'm expecting this." No, that's not what you're talking about. If you do that, you are like the guy who went for prayer meeting. And he said, "Let's pray because there's a mountain." And the Bible says, you say the mountain go, mountain will go. So let's pray about the mountain behind my house so that the sun can come through the windows. They prayed. In the morning, he opened. Yeah. You see, there it is. I knew it wouldn't go. Now, how do you expect God to do this? He already knew the mountain would not go. That's what he was saying. But what I'm saying to you is, our God is faithful. And He's able to do that. All right, let's talk about the way in which we spend money outside of the church. The first one is for yourself. Listen to this scripture. In Thessalonica, people knew Jesus was coming, so they stopped even working. And this is what Paul says. "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear some of you walk in idleness and not busy at work, but busybodies." That's a good word. They are busybodies. "Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." I want to underline that word. And earn their own living. Good news, the NIV says, "and earn the bread they eat." From this scripture, I've learned one thing, which I learned late. If you are working, you need to eat from your labor. Take care of yourself. So you need to spend on yourself so that you can be healthy and do the work you are doing. Very important. Very, very important. Number two, you need to spend on your family, especially in the communities we are living in today. It's like just give babies, produce babies all over. One here, one there. And Where is the father? Nowhere to be seen. I'm talking to the man. It's not right. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his family, his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse off than an unbeliever. We need to feed our babies. We need to provide for our families. We need to spend on our family. Very important. Not only yourself, your family as well. And then the third one is you need to spend on other people who are in need. Remember that scripture we read about the stealing? It says, let a thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may do something and share with those in need. There are people who may be in need in our midst. They may not be poor, but they have need. The Bible says, if you have opportunity, do good to all people, especially those in the family of God. So we need to look out for each other's need and provide. Please, in our spending, we need to be very, very careful about some of the things that we buy. If you are buying something and you know you cannot pay for it, don't buy. There are three things that will happen. Number one, you may not be able to pay for it and you run away. It's called stealing. You've stolen because you knew you wouldn't pay for it. Or number two, what will happen is that you become a slave in your life because there will be garnish orders coming every month after you. You never finish paying. Or number three, you will have to, they say you rob Peter to pay Paul. You go and squeeze from somewhere, and you know what? Your family suffers. Or even your own suffer because of that. So don't buy anything that you know you cannot pay for. These days, when you are watching TV, as you are there, so many beautiful things popping and out. Please don't buy on impulses. Oh, that it looks nice. Oh, you're going to work and somebody, that shoe fits you, eh? What you are saying, it's not that it fits you. I want to get one. You are not in a competition with anybody. You are not in a competition with anybody. And so you need to be very careful how you spend your money in such areas. Don't allow them. SMSs, these days, SMSs. The worst for me is loans. The banks, almost every day. No, even MTN. You can win 10,000. Every day they bring it. I don't know why they want your money. If they can get 10,000, why don't they share among themselves? Why me? It's not there. We need to be very careful. Anyway, and so as we conclude, you need to save. You need to save. You honor God by saving. You know, these days is very, very difficult. When the Bible, we read this scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know somebody knows it. I know the plans I have for you to give you what? A future and a hope. It's not about today. It's about tomorrow. God cares about your tomorrow. So you should care about your tomorrow as well. Don't finish everything today. Don't finish everything today. Reserve something. Jesus, here he is. He gets this lunch from the boy. He feeds 5,000. After that, he instructed his disciples to gather the leftovers. What were they for? For tomorrow. For tomorrow. Some of us, we go to parties. I've seen. We get mountains. You know mountains? The food that is not flat. In our own homes, we cook food. We throw them away. No, it's not right. It's not good use. Let's learn. Let me tell you. If I buy lunch, 20 rands, and because we ate yesterday and something remained, I take it to work. I'm telling you, I've saved 20 rand. I've saved 20 rand. Some of us don't see that. We need to save. It's very, very important. I remember in the year 1998, I had learned how to use computers. And so the principal at ESSA called me and said, Benson, with your computers, can you provide us with computers at CCP? ESSA. I said, yes, I can. We need 30 computers. He went with me. We went to buy all the components. Do you know that out of that, the blessing of the Lord came. At that time, 1998, about 30,000 is what came. And we decided to save it. Today, we eat off that money. A man, we saw a man at the bank. His name is George, Standard Bank. And he said, you can put a little bit of money away. It's an investment. And we did that. Recently, through Uncle Nigel, we realized that we have our garage. That is, it's got all the roof. It's just a question of changing here and there. He made a plan for us. And through these savings, we are now able to put a small house together. It's a three-bedroom house. What I'm saying here is that God has blessed us, all of us, something. Something we just need to open our eyes and listen to the voice of God. And he will do it for us. We need to save. In CCP, I've told you before, I've told everyone, if you are working in CCP, the Lord is blessing us in a small way, we should save. Last week, I was blown away. Somebody preached about the same 5,000 being fed and the 12 baskets that were collected. And I felt I should ask, those of you who have been saving, can anyone give us a testimony of what has happened? Immediately I said that somebody raised up their hand. Number one, this person said, Pastor, it was not easy when you told us to save money. Pastor, I want you to know this car that you see me driving is from the savings. Beautiful car, beautiful. He bought it because of he saved money. There are so many money we are throwing away. We are throwing away. We buy unnecessary things. There are some things you buy, you ask yourself, why did I buy this? What is it for? You are confused. Just give it to God then. And you see the blessing of the Lord that come our way. To me, the best one is this. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. If you're a good man, you not only save for yourself for today, you save for your children tomorrow. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Your child is in grade 8 now. One day, it will be university. We don't want her to be like this girl. No one is there to help. Save a little bit. Go to someone and say, look, I've saved 5,000. Can you help me? On that, somebody can help you. I pray God that we will build our faith in the Lord and seek expert help. Thank God for Rob, who is able to help us. Please, seeking expert help to put a bit of money away has helped us save something. It can help you. You need to seek an expert help, and it will be a blessing. Use the knowledge God has given you. I remember when we came to South Africa, and Beatrice knew how to sew. And we had some good kente clothes from Ghana. She started making shirts with Africa. You know, if you see people wearing shirts with Africa in it now, we started it years ago. It gave us something. We were all students. She made Bible covers with a map of Africa on. Do you know, somebody saw it and said, I can take them to the UK. And she started taking them to UK. It helps us. It gave extra work for us, but it builds us up. It saved us. And it blessed us. It's my prayer that the Lord will help you identify a small area in your life so that you can bless God. Shall we stand together?